Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning! You're listening to Own Your Career, the weekly summit for the CEO of Me, Inc., where students and professionals develop the skills necessary to run their career as a business and transform into the CEO of Me. This is Rod Cologne from Jackson, New Jersey on Blog Talk Radio, online at blogtalkradio.com/own your career. For the past 16 years, I have been in the trenches coaching today's and tomorrow's leaders develop the best leadership training available for the CEO of Me. For the next 60 minutes, I will cover topics critical to the CEO of Me and a new career management solution for the 21st century. I'm looking forward to taking your calls at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. And good morning to everyone. I tell you, it's here in Jackson, New Jersey, is nice and crispy. It's probably somewhere in the mid-50s. And you could just taste that beautiful season of the fall and the leaves starting to change and kids are back to school and And one of the beautiful things of Don Gabor in his book, Turn Small Talk into Big Deals, is just that. What is it that we do in taking our small talk and working it out from a business? But the classic book that I picked up early on many, many years ago was How to Start a Conversation and Make Friends. How to Start a Conversation and Make Friends, by Don Gabor. One of the key things in small talk is, well, what's the reason, right? Small talk demonstrates a willingness to talk. So here it is, you're at an event, you're at a Dunkin' Donuts, you're at any specific location, and someone, meaning you as the CEO of me, needs to kind of have an interest or a willingness to talk, to share. That is so important. So here it's about the mindset. Do we want to share and kind of overcome our fear and just being a little bit uncomfortable about wanting to talk to someone and asking questions? So one, you know, is demonstrates a willingness to talk. Two, the power of small talk is allows people to exchange basic information and find common interests, right? Allows people to exchange basic information and find common interests. And third, provides an opportunity for speakers to reveal the topics that they want to talk about. All right, so here you are. You're speaking. You're at an event. You're looking to network. You're working out some of the details. And here it is, you want to speak with someone. So it's your interest in wanting to get to know them. And there has to be a genuine interest. I could sense sometimes when I work with someone as a coach and I go to an event with them, and you could they're scared, they're afraid, they're worried, what to say, what's on my mind, what should I ask? You know, there are all these things, almost like chaos in their mind. And you just want to just step back a little bit, and really all the small talk pieces is just saying hi, sharing some information, asking some things, and that's the goal, right? The goal is simply to exchange some information and say hi, and sometimes it won't work. Sometimes there's not a match. It doesn't click, and that's okay. Don't worry about that. Don't get frustrated about that, okay? So in our ability to find someone, and that someone can identify you as someone who is open to communicating, right? I always look at it that, you know, it's like the taxi driver who puts the sign on to say, I am open to taking passengers. You know, the light is on. I am open to taking passengers. Well, you also want to give signals, and you want to look for signals that an individual is willing to chat, to talk, to speak, to share. So what you're looking for is, as Don Gabor puts it, and he uses the plural of soften. So the word is soften, soften, S-O-F-T-E-N, right? This is a methodology that Don writes about and talks about, and which I have used for many, many years. And let's look at the letters S-O-F-T-E-N, right? So S is smile. To smile. When you see someone smiling at you, that's a good clue to say, well, possibility here of having some dialogue, some conversation, and for yourself as well. Think of it if you're frowning. Think of it if you have your arms crossed. Think about if you have this look of, boy, I'm ready to kill somebody. Not likely I'm going to go over to you and say, hi, I'm Rod Colon. The O, open arms. Open arms. Not the crossed. Just think of it. Just having your hands to the side, open, not crossed, brings interest. F, forward leaning, moving forward, not backing up, not backpedaling, not leaning back, but leaning forward, interest. T, touch. Okay? Right? To touch someone, if they kind of to the side, shaking hands, all that, open. Next, E, eye contact, right? And N, nod. These are all things that as we're involved in small talk, we're going to do. So we smile with open arms, we forward lean, we shake hands, we look at their eyes, and we nod as they're speaking. You know, that's always a good sales technique that we use. Matter of fact, when I was videotaped many years ago when I was on the corporate side, and in this videotape was about sharing a specific area of interest that I'm trying to influence the group or an individual, the coach said, Rod, you have a very good technique, which is you're constantly, as you're speaking with them, as you're listening, you're nodding your head, meaning that I'm listening to you. I understand what you're saying. I'm in agreement. These are all good small talk techniques. So now that you've kind of have the approach and the shaking of hands and the eye contact and you've got their attention now, you want to, what are you going to say? What are you going to talk about? What are you going to cover? You know, there's some things that you want to do. So ask questions, close or open-ended questions. You know, make a positive or light-hearted comment. Or for a compliment, followed by an easy-to-answer question. Introduce yourself. These are all good ways of just, as we say, breaking the ice. Right? So for me, in breaking the ice and, hi, you know, and I see their name, and typically we're at an event with their name tag added. Hi, Joe, how you doing? What brings you here? How's it going? Yeah. If the weather's crazy out today, hey, you know, tell you, what weather? Commute. Wow, I tell you, that you know, traffic on the turnpike, boy, I tell you, at exit 13, that was crazy. And you got to just get a sense. You start building a pulse as to where this individual's at in their mind. Do they want to talk? Do they want to share? Is it positive, you know, are they exuding positive energy or negative, right? So if the individual is saying, oh, I hate this, I can't stand to be here, I don't know why my spouse sent me here. Well, that's a good sign for me to, you know, I misread the visual signals, and I, okay, and kind of work from there and see if I could turn it around a little bit, and then or move on. I don't click with everyone. But usually my goal at this point is simply to just listen, because as the CEO of me, we are great networkers. So my goal in these conversations is simply is, how can I help this individual in some way through my network? That's usually what's in my mind. I'm running a business. I'm the CEO of me. I have a powerful network of friends who I can help and support and benefit, right? How can I help you? I'm not saying that to them as almost I'm a cashier or a bank teller or, you know, oh, but next, how can I help you? No, not at all. But in my mind, I'm just thinking, you know, how can I be of help to them? How can I be of service to them? So that tends to be, I'm going to ask questions, nice questions about what's going on, what's in their mind, what's in their spirit, you know, what type of person they are, without asking that, just trying to feel them out in a good, positive way to see how I can be of benefit and of help to them. So as they share a few things in their mind, the first thing that they're going to share is their name, right? Now, if there's a name thing, it's pretty easy. You got their name. You may ask, you know, it's your last name, Art, and sure. Sometimes and many times we don't have the benefit of a name tag. So we're listening for the names. I know as I've traveled to different countries, their names are just not names that I recognize easily, right? When I went to Chongqing, China, the names were just a bit different, and the pronunciation. And when I went to India, and I've been to the Philippines, these are names that it's just difficult to recognize. So I tend to want to, when they say their name, I want to focus on their name, not focus on what I'm going to say. I just want to focus on their name because the name is so precious to them. right? The one of the most beautiful sounds in the world to an individual is the sound of their name said right, pronounced properly, or at least the attempt to pronounce it properly and to confirm that. So I will ask them, oh, hi, I'm Rod, and they'll give me their name. Oh, how do you spell that? Right? Great, because the spelling of the name focuses me on their name and how to, and the spelling of it. And then I can, in my mind, say it, and then I repeat their name. Hmm. So the person's name is, you know, Philippe. Great, Philippe. I'm thinking it could be spelled a couple of, Philippe, how do you spell that? And I say, oh, F-E, and great. It's for Philippe. Fantastic. And if you know this is going to be a name that you're going to struggle with a little bit, kind of quickly associate that name to someone you know, or an artist, or an athlete, someone that you can immediately think of that. I struggled at one point with the name Shannon. For the life of me, I was just struggling with that name. Until I thought of an athlete whose name is Shannon, and immediately when I got it the third time, I said, okay, and I'm going to use the athlete as a way to remember seeing this person with the athlete's name. And what you want to do throughout the conversation is make sure to use their name. Once again, they love the sound of their name. Everyone does, right? So for those who say, you know, I'm known for everyone as Rod Colon. But when I went to Latin America or in the Philippines, they said, Rod must be short for something. What is that? I said, oh, thanks for asking. It's Rodrigo. I said, Rodrigo. Wow. How do you spell, you know, and they went through that process. And then going on for the rest of the conversation, it was Rodrigo. You know, with that Spanish flair. Awesome. Loved it. And I'm sure you would as well. It's just taking interest in that individual. So now that you have this part of, you know, their name and you feel the excitement and, you know, it's working well, we can start now going into, well, what are we going to talk about? What are the process? What are the themes? What are the things we can share? Where we're going to have the line of questioning? And we'll pick that right up. Where you're listening to Own Your Career. This is Rod Colon from Jackson, New Jersey on Blog Talk Radio, where we meet weekly on Saturday mornings here on the East Coast at 9 a.m. for our weekly summit for the CEO of Me. I'm taking your calls at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. Today's topic is on the what, the why, and the how to small talk. This week, we're going to be, I'm going to be at September 10th, which is Tuesday. It'll be a wonderful program over at the Union County College. I'm going to be running a Own Your Career Me Inc. study group, as well as a presentation from 5 p.m. to 6 is the study group, and from 6 to 8 p.m. at the college. Certainly, for more information, just email me at rod@rodcolon.com. On the 12th, I will be the MC at the Tri-State Diversity Council, where it's going to be diversity in action, and they're going to be three dynamic speakers who are going to be presenting that morning from the Wyndham Worldwide. And certainly, you may want to email me or take a peek at my email that I sent out on Friday for specifics as to registering for that event. You're gonna meet three to four powerful speakers on all aspects of diversity inside the corporation over at Wyndham Worldwide. That evening, I'm going to be at the HISPA, and this is the organization that I do quite a bit of work with in helping inner city kids, middle school kids, and role models from the STEM perspective, the science, technology, engineering, and math. So the organization is now branching into New York, and it's their New York kickoff. For more details, go to hispa.org, H-I-S-P-A.org. On September 16th, I'm going to be giving six, it's a series of six talks over at Georgian Court University with the Women in Leadership Development Organization, a group of seniors getting ready to start and launch their career. We're calling it Beyond You, the U for the university, Beyond You, and that will begin at 6, actually at 5 p.m. So if you have any questions or would like to join in and mentor or support, certainly email me at rod@rodcolone.com. On the 18th and 19th of September, I will be, this is Hispanic Heritage Month, I'll be speaking on culture and empowerment and personal branding on the 18th at the University of Massachusetts at Lowell, and on the 19th at the Housatonic Community College. On the 21st of September, for those who are in the New York City area or in Westchester County or up in the North Jersey, you may want to catch me at giving the 7 Secrets to Landing a Job at the Church of St. Francis of Assisi, right across the street from Madison Square Garden. For more details and confirming, you could send an email to resume@stfrancisnyc.org. And we're running our program, our monthly program, Rod Cologne Consulting and Georgian Court University with the ETP Network on September 26th is our next event, which is Learn the Secrets of Owning Your Career at 6 p.m. at Georgian Court University. That's in Lakewood, New Jersey, at the Little Theater. For more details, just email me as well. So you're listening to Own Your Career. This is Rod Cologne on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer from Jackson, New Jersey, where we meet weekly for what we call our weekly summit for the CEO with me. I'm taking your calls at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. Our topic today is small talk. So we've covered the aspects of you know, why we need to the small talk, the what is small talk, and how. We're on the how. We've now got ourselves prepared, looking at the body language, shaking hands, getting a good idea of the name, and making sure the name is very important in our conversation with the individual. And now we're at the point to ask a few questions, because the way I look at the small talk is my ability to engage in conversations so that I can find out a little bit about you to see if I can help you in some way, which solidifies a relationship, solidifies a follow-up, a friendship. And here it is that my friends can be of help to you and your friends can be of help to me somewhere in the future. And certainly we could use social, you know, media for that and LinkedIn and some other tools as well. So now we're at the point of having a conversation. So in my mind, I think of the word form, F-O-R-M, form. F is we can talk about family. O, we can talk about occupation. R, we can talk about recreation, vacation, right? R, recreation. M, motivation or money or lack of. But I like motivation. So now we need to be a little careful about family and using these letters and when meeting with someone. So if I meet I'm at a networking event, and the first thing I talk about with the woman is about family, she may get the wrong idea. So as a CEO of me, let's make sure that we use things appropriately. So if I'm at a baptism, a bat mitzvah, a confirmation, you know, some social family, you know, family and the conversation there is pretty good. But if I'm much more in a business setting, then we'll go with occupation, which is a good entry point to discuss back and forth, and then we can move into recreation, motivation, and family. So it all depends. All depends on your age as far as the types of conversation with whom you're speaking with as well. So I usually like to start in a business setting around occupation. So what is it that you do, Philippe? And Philippe will say something, and usually most individuals, and this is their opportunity to give me their elevator pitch or their value proposition or, you know, what it is that they do about their business. But knowing that I have not guided them, and they're not familiar with the CEO of me, I will simply kind of work with them to get as much information. So Philippe says, "Yeah, Rod, I'm a project manager." I'm saying, "Okay, that's great, but that's just not enough information for me to go beyond that." So I said, where do you do that? You know, who do you do that for? In what industry? What do you like about it? And in this conversation, I'm going to get a sense for them, positive or negative. Is the person open and sharing and discussing and dialoguing? Are they happy about their skills or not happy about their skills? They hate their industry. They love their industry. Just kind of getting a sense for them. So what do you do there? And how are things? How do you like it? Right? And usually in the how do you like it, will reveal, you know, I love the work, or, you know, I'm not working. I'm doing my work, but I wish I was somewhere else, or I love it. So you're just kind of going back and forth and finding out information. And I'm looking for where is the point of interest that we have in common. So Philippe, let's say he's a nuclear physicist, and he's doing specific work. So how do you do that? What do you do? I'm like, boy, out of my league, not sure, boy, I can't relate, you know, just I'm probing, you know, what else is there really? So I may go from there, and if, you know, we're good conversation, great, you know, is there a family behind, you know, Philippe? And he says, yeah, I have three kids, so I'm not moving into the family side. So, I have three kids. Oh, really? You know, how old? Oh, 23, 18. Oh, wow, you know, our kids are around the same age. Good conversation now. Oh, one is looking for college. Oh, really? You know, I know individuals who are in college admissions. They're working different programs. So we're beginning conversation. I'm looking to see where I can be of help, of support. Okay, if I'm speaking to someone, they said, I see a tan. I said, wow, you know, that's a nice tan you have there, Philippe. Says, yeah, you know, I just came from vacation. I was in Bermuda. Oh, really? You know, I've been to Bermuda as well. Where did you go? I'm looking to, you know, take a trip soon as well. Just go from there. You can see that in many times in speaking with someone who's younger than me. There, a lot of times the sense of occupation is what they want to do. So I'm looking for cues about motivation. What are they motivated on? What do they want to do? What do they want to aspire to be? Right? And at this point, people are saying, but Rod, they don't know anything about you. So what good is this small talk stuff? It's not important right now. It's about me gathering as much information as I can and clues and see how I can help and see how I can engage. We will have plenty of time, if I can secure this conversation in the proper way, to have plenty of time to tell them about me, maybe at this point and maybe in the future. But I'm not worried about me right now. Now, I understand that individuals who are out of work and with a sense of urgency, they want to, you know, put a 2.2 minutes on this conversation and say, God, I have a winner, and someone's going to help me land the job. Well, that's not the way I approach, you know, networking and small talk. It's simply about helping. This is more of my research and development division of Rod Colon Consulting versus sales and marketing. Right. So the small talk is not about quickly, what are you doing? I need a job, or I need to fulfill a position. Many will look at you as a networking jerk or drive by or you know, a bum, you know, from a networking. Everything I thought about networking is that's it. That's your picture right next to the definition. So I'm asking these questions. And once I can secure an area follow-up, says, Philippe, that's really interesting that your son is looking to go to the University of Massachusetts at Lowell. I'm actually going to be speaking there at the end of September, and I know quite a few individuals there in administration. With knowing people in administration at University of Massachusetts at Lowell, will that be of help to you or your son? Philippe says, yes, absolutely. It'd be very helpful. And that way, and at this point, now I take out my card and, you know, ask him for, Philippe, do you have a card? Great, love to stay in touch with you. And that way I can get the information. And you know, I write in the back of his card just a couple of notes as to following up, which I, you know, kind of, you know, we're looking at each other. He could see what I'm writing on his card. And I look at and appreciate his card. And I've locked up the follow-up on my part. Now, we're to the closing piece. So Felipe may say, and truly, Felipe is probably floored where he's never networked or rarely has he networked with someone this quickly that there's a follow-up of interest and someone that they like, and there's an actual follow-up. Great, I'm going to follow up to see if I can connect you with these individuals. So I've locked my follow-up. So I know that when I call Felipe and email him the next time, he's going to respond. It's not who's Rod. And I'm going to do that in a short period of time. Now, Felipe he's got an option. Now, is he going to reciprocate now, or will he do that in the future, is up to him. He may ask me, you know, Rod, that's very kind of you. I really appreciate that. Tell me, what is it that you do? Right? So now I'll share. You know, I'm a career coach and motivational speaker. I work with kids as young as middle school to executives, you know, all around the world. I do it in multiple ways through radio and coaching and speaking. And what I do is I empower professionals and students in how to manage their career as a business. Right? And this is all part of my pitch, right? It's just a standard, comfortable way. I've been doing it for a while. And usually I get a, really, how do you do that? And if you know people are saying that about you when you make your statement and pitch, you got it right. Right? If Philippe says, oh, okay. One, your pitch wasn't interesting. Or two, they really didn't care about you. So at this point, you know, we ask little things, and he may be willing to reciprocate in kind, but at least he knows a little bit more about me, and we kind of take it from there. I've secured my follow-up, and then at this point, I'll move on to say, hey, Philippe, man, great meeting you. I'm looking forward to following up. Oh, by the way, Philippe, are you on LinkedIn? And he says, oh, sure, great. You know, I'd love to send you an invitation, so we stay connected there as well. But I'll also follow up with you on this, you know, I'm getting you to folks over at UMass as well. Great. He says, no, I'm not on LinkedIn. Oh, Philippe, I mean, from a networking standpoint, that's a tool you absolutely want to be on. It enables you to, you know, share with folks in a professional setting what your brand is about, staying connected with individuals, and really about helping each other. It's an extraordinary way of doing that. So something I would certainly highly encourage you. I'll send you an invitation, and that'll kind of get you as far as through that email of signing up and joining, and it's free. So I left in good terms. And then at this point I would say, if I met somebody already at the event, and I think it would be worthwhile for Philippe to meet, I'll actually not take Philippe. I say, Philippe, you know, I'd like to introduce you to someone, walk them over to the person, and if they're speaking to someone else, kind of just wait there a little bit, and then introduce, and then step out. If you don't have anyone in mind, you just say, hey, great, you know, let's continue to network. You know, Philippe, if I meet somebody here over the next hour or so that could be of benefit to you, I'll bring them over to you. And if you meet somebody, hey, you do that for me. Almost like we now start buddying up and working together the event as a team. And at least, you know, looking forward to following up and, you know, shake hands again and move on to the next individual. All right? And that evening, you know, I'll record all that. But it's the small talk. It's the mindset that gets you through, you know, the what, the why, and the how to small talk. Right? The purpose of small talk, right, is one, the willingness, you know, to demonstrate that you want to chat, you want to talk, the openness, the exchange of information, and the opportunity to get to know each other. And my goal is simply to chat, to find out more about you, and to see if there's someone in my network. Because it's usually the case. It's usually not that I can do something for you. And I'm not looking to sell my coaching services and motivational services to you. That's not appropriate at this point. Unless the individual engages me with conversation and finds out what I do and now starts drilling me with a lot of questions. Hey, great, here's my card. You know, let's talk about it, you know, another day. I'm going to need a lot more than a few minutes with you to discuss, you know, what I do. But, you know, I appreciate, you know, your interest in what I do. Right? Because then I could, you know, monopolize this individual's time and lock myself in a corner for an hour and a half on one person, which is not really the goal. I could do that at another time. Okay, because there are other individuals that, I can meet with and talk to and share, which is great. So hopefully this has been helpful on the small talk. Sorry, this is Rod Colon with Own Your Career on Blog Talk Radio, the weekly summit for the CEO of me, online at blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. That's blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. I'm taking your calls at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. Okay, mailbag time. Got some emails this week. Just want to cover a couple of them here with you. My position is not changing, but I will be working for a new company in the same role, and I have to interview for the position, almost as a formality. So should I treat it as a formality, informal interview, and what should I do about negotiations and benefits? So here we have an individual who's working at, once again, we'll use our Bodega Group, and working for Bodega Group, they have outsourced this work to another organization. But yet it's going to be in the same desk, same cubicle, same office, same brick and mortar. But the check now is going to come from a different organization. But everything stays the same. But now this new organization says, Rod, I need you to interview for your role. So, okay. But isn't it? Yes, but we have to go through the formalities of interviewing for the role. I said, okay, great. So how do I best prepare for that? Right? Are the benefits going to be the same? They're not going to be the same? How's it going to work out? All the details there. I want to get a sense there. So in my mind, I'm going to go there prepared to interview. Although they said, this is just a formality, I want them to know that I'm very interested in the role. I'm providing a service. I'm very enthusiastic about it. For many, especially when there's a merger or these sort of things, they become extremely bitter, very negative, down, sour. And remember, it is a formality, but if you really are extremely negative, they can, at this point, not bring you on. They can. That's certainly an option. So I want to never, as a business owner, want that to happen. So then the question comes in, well, what is it that I talk about my role? I've been doing it. I've been doing it very successfully. What do I share? Well, certainly share about the things you have done, the results that you have shared over the last few years inside the organization. Bring them up to speed on that. But spend quite a bit of time in sharing about your excitement and enthusiasm over this role, and you are providing a service. So you always want to leave the impression of, I'm here to provide a great service, and you talk about the organization. You've done your work with this, you've done your research on this new organization. This organization will provide some wonderful opportunities, the potential of wonderful opportunities for you to grow your career within the organization. That's certainly what you want to drive. The individual I was alluding to here, well, how do I negotiate? How about benefits and all that? Well, typically an organization up front, when they're purchasing a contract or buying out a certain part of an organization, all those things are set between the major organizations. But the memo hasn't gone out yet. People are not aware of what is being transferred or not. So this is an opportunity to just confirm certain things. This is what I've done. These are the benefits that I've received. This is the compensation that I was at. These were the promises that have been made. Just want to make sure, are these specific areas that will be covered or confirmed? So this is kind of what we're looking to do and kind of have settled in our minds. Leave the negative out of it. Keep it positive. Kind of work from there and enjoy that. I believe we have a call here. Right. Welcome to Own Your Career. This is Rod Colon. All right, that was disconnected. So, yeah, that's the way I look at it from that standpoint. Here's another question that has come in. How does one engage a career coach? How does one engage a career coach? Well, first of all, you have to be ready. You know, are you truly ready for a career coach? Because in the role of a coach is to really help you to reach the goal that you're looking to achieve, meaning you have some ideas and they'll work with you on the goal. But really what you're looking for in a coach is someone that you can trust, someone who is competent in the area of your need, someone who has done it before, someone that you feel comfortable in the way that they guide you, critique, counsel, help, support. And here is where you want to speak with the coach up front, ask them a few questions as to style, how would they handle certain situations, and be comfortable with that. And certainly ask for references and for them to give you a list of individuals, and you call up who you wish. You don't have to call them up, all of them. But you really, almost like a doctor, a dentist, a professional, an attorney, a financial planner, an accountant, you want to be comfortable with them. There's a lot. There's so much that's going to be discussed and shared through these sessions. You know, many times there's some Kleenex moments. So you want to make sure that the person that you're speaking with and being coached by is one that, one, you feel that what they've done and accomplished is one that great, certainly in the line that I'm looking for, and that you can talk to them, that you can feel comfortable with them, that you're going to feel comfortable with them when they give you a strong message, a direct message, that it's not personal. Those are the things that I look for in coaching. And in coaches, I mean, if you look your due diligence as far as fees, right? So, you know, what are fees and fee structures? You know, coaches can range, and this is per session, right? Coaches can range from probably on the low-end side of, you know, $80, $90 per session, and usually a session is somewhere in the to over $1,500 per session. And sometimes more, depending on the individuals and their background and their niche. So it's a widespread. And it all depends on what you're looking for. Some coaches provide a series of sessions where they will charge you upfront for that series of sessions. So we'll go from there. I believe we have a question. Let's see here. Good morning. This is Rod Colon with On Your Career.
Good morning, Rod. This is Angela Gregorowitz.
Hey, Angela. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good morning. Your question or comment?
I have a first-step interview coming up, a phone screening interview, and I was wondering if you could provide some tips for preparing.
For a phone screen. Is that right, Angela?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, great question. Is there a job description, or is this more of an exploratory?
Yeah, it's for a sourcing manager position, procurement.
Is there a job description that you have in hand, or is this more of an exploratory?
I have a job description in hand.
Fantastic. Okay, so what we want to do with the job description is dissect. So as I write about in the book, is you want to own what's in that job description, almost to the point as if you wrote it yourself and you're the decision maker and you'll be, in essence, making the hiring decision. So I'm going to look at the job description. I'm going to look at every line, every bullet, every sentence, and I'm going to ask myself, how can I defend against this? How can I share results on these areas? if what they write on the job description, many times in the beginning, is about the company, the organization, some general information, that's fine. Aspect of that, part of the job description, I want to be able to comfortably be able to share what I have done in that area, the results mm-hmm. of my work in that area, and also the areas in the job description that I do not have. I want to be able to how to best deflect it. How do I best say, you know, Angela, that's a great question. I don't have ABC skill, but I do have XYZ. Now, certainly I'm not going to say that it's the same. It is not. I don't. But what I will share with you is this is the way I approached that topic. And these were my results. So I have my game plan there, and I've done my research. I've done my work as to what I have done against these bullets, my results against these bullets, and the areas of weaknesses. So if they start probing in the areas of things that are not my strength, I will know how to deflect it. Almost a way of taking a blow but deflecting the full blow. And that's the way I'm going to look at it that way. Okay, so that's how I best prepare.
Okay.
In the phone interview, what you want to make sure is that the phone that you're giving them or the phone you're using is one that is solid, good strength, good signal strength, or a landline. You know, we don't want to work in some bunker where it's a one-point signal and the call is dropping off, although it may be on their end, that might be the issue. You don't want that to happen. The next thing is you want to make sure that I look at a phone interview as an open book test, meaning I can print out my resume, I can print out the job description, I can print out results and achievements and put it all in what I call my war room. And I tape all of these documents against the wall in a font which is readable from a little distance, so I could use 18 as far as my size. And I tape it against the wall at eye level because I will be standing up when taking this call, not sitting down. When we sit and we're not looking at someone, we have a tendency of kind of having our elbow to our chin. We're not speaking openly. When we stand up, and if you could think of it, every time you have a high-volume discussion of passion with someone, good or bad, we're usually not sitting down. We're usually standing up and walking the room. I want you to go that way. You sound much more robust and louder, and you know, the words are really coming across nice and clear. I'm also going to have a mirror near me. The reason for the mirror is what you see is what they're hearing. So if there's a frown or worry or upset, or you could just see that in your face, well, that's what they're hearing as well. Is you see engaging, happy, smile, you know, hands, using the hands, then, you know, we're in it right. In every interview, the three phases. The first one is the questions you're asked. Phase two is the questions you will ask. And the last part is the close. So make sure when we're into the part of they're asking you questions, answer the questions with, this was my experience, and this was the result of my experience. If you do it that way consistently, you will blow them away. You will simply blow them away because most individuals will not answer that way. Then we transition to, Rod, do you have any questions for me? And certainly this is where I'll ask, in that transition, I always take the opportunity to say, Angela, thank you so much for this opportunity to interview with you. Sounds great so far from what I'm hearing. I have a few questions for you. The three questions, standard questions I ask is, how do you measure success? I listen. I may respond to that. In the first 3 to 6 months, what will I have to do to meet your expectations, exceed your expectations? If it's not the manager, I'll phrase it a little differently instead of you, but the organization's expectations in the meets and exceeds. And certainly then I ask also the question related to, you know, what is it about an individual who's been the most dynamic in this role, your best performer ever? You know, what was it about what they've done that set them apart from their character and their competence? What was it about their character and competence that set them apart from everyone else? So this is a good thing. So now I answered that nothing else. Maybe you have some other questions that are fairly good, which helps them to perceive you as someone who's success-oriented, looking to protect their interests. Not questions that are questions you need answered now for you to say yes, because an offer hasn't been extended. So questions about benefits, salary, work, vacation, those are questions we ask when we're getting ready to negotiate. And then the last part is the close. And you say to me, Rod, thank you so much, really appreciate it. And before I let you go, I'm going to say, you know, Angela, thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm really interested in the role. They may not be able to tell from my voice if I'm interested or not, so I want to clearly say I am very interested in this role. And what should be my next step? And you want to pin this down, because this is where we can get into the twilight zone as to what do I do next. So you want to say, great, and so, well, we're interviewing a few individuals over the phone. By next Friday, we should have an answer. Oh, great, so by next Friday, I should hear something. You say yes, and then I say, Angela, if by next Friday I don't hear something, is it okay if I, you know, call you back the following Monday? You say yes, I've locked up my follow-up. So this is just a quick piece on the phone interview. But I look at the phone interview as a way for them to confirm what you have on paper. And I want to blow them away in a very positive way and having all this information. So if you hear me, and we're actually now, you know, listening this way, but if you heard all this, you know, paper, right, and you're interviewing me and you're hearing all this paper flipping back and forth, the impression you're getting of me is you don't know what you're talking about. You have to check. In essence, they're going back to, you know, they're not comfortable in their competency. So you want to avoid, you know, papers flipping in the background.
Right.
So question, Angela, was this helpful?
Yes, very helpful.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Angela, for calling On Your Career.
Bye-bye.
This is Rod Cologne with On Your Career on Blog Talk Radio, on blogtalkradio.com/On Your Career, where the CEO of me, we have our weekly summit on Saturday mornings here in the East Coast at 9 a.m. We're taking your calls at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. Let's go with one last question from our mailbag, and we'll wrap it up for the week. Let's pull it. Oh, actually, I got a good one here. Someone on our Lead Your Career team wrote the following based on he's been out of work and he just recently landed, and kind of put quite a bit of information together on what our program has, how it's helped him. His name is Romer Dominique, and he wrote and shared with the team 5 tips to lead your career. 5 tips to lead your career. And he writes, you know, the Lead Your Career class had such a profound impact in my job search that I thought of compiling some of the key learning that I have gained during the 8-week boot camp for an efficient job search. Here are the 5 tips to lead your career that really made a difference in my attitude towards my job search, and hopefully can help you as well in the path to find your dream job. And I'll kind of paraphrase just a little bit, but there are 5 key pieces. He writes, 1, network, network, network. It should be one of the key activities in your job search and in your life. It is very important to always keep in mind that networking should be about what you can give to the person with whom you are networking with. So number 1 for Romer is network, network, network. Number 2, be visible. Be visible. Build your brand and make sure it is accessible. Make it easy to recruiters, hiring managers, and your network to find you and get to know you better. LinkedIn, Twitter are great professional sites to expose yourself to the world. So 2, be visible. 3, focus on achievable goals that you can control. Focus on achievable goals that you can control. And Romer says, create goals that you can control as opposite of goals that depend on forces beyond your control. Be disciplined and organized about your goals. They can be the number of new jobs you're applying for in 1 week, the number of new connections you make in 1 month, the number of hours a week you dedicate yourself to your job search. All those goals should be focused about getting you closer to your dream opportunity. Remember, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. 4, he writes, attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. Be positive. Do not let circumstances beat you up. You can choose to see things on the bright side. When you are in transition, you have more time for yourself. So number 4, attitude is everything. And lastly, number 5 for Romare in his top 5 list is know yourself. Know yourself. Take the time to reflect on yourself and think about those essential questions. What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What am I passionate about? What type of work environment I need? It is better to have an answer to those questions so you can direct your career towards the right path. So those are the 5 tips to lead your career from one of our students and pharmaceutical professional, Romare Dominique, as he recently has landed and shared the following. 1, in essence, is how to lead your career. 1, network, network, network. 2, be visible. 3, focus on achievable goals that you can control. 4, attitude is everything. And 5, know yourself. All right, so great information, Romare, and thank you so much for sharing that with us. Well, that's what we have for this week. To find out more information on how to own your career, visit my website on rodcolon.com. That's RODCOLON.com. I'd love to hear from you. During the week, you can contact me at rod@rodcolon.com. I appreciate you, our listeners. We know, and I know, how difficult it is to own your career. Thank you for listening in. Next week's theme is negotiating as the CEO of me. How do you work the negotiations, the benefits, and all the details there? I'm going to cover it in detail from the CEO of me perspective. Remember to own your career and keep networking alive. And certainly as the NFL season approaches, go Giants. This is Rod Cologne with Own Your Career.